You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Thing the other day, I was surfing YouTube. That's a very dangerous thing if you surf YouTube. You're going to find some stuff that's kind of crazy, like what I found across on YouTube when I was surfing it. I was searching and ran across this little YouTube video called Awesome Asian Hostage Negotiator. And what was happening was, in this very short clip, it was about maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes long, there was this team of police officers trying to talk down and negotiate with a guy that had taken a lady hostage inside of a convenience store, and he was pretty nasty about what he was. You know, he basically had stabbed the woman. It was not pretty, and you could actually see him stabbing her with an ice pick while you were watching the video. What the hostage negotiators were doing is they were throwing, at first, bottles of water at the guy because apparently he was thirsty. So they threw bottles of water to him. And every time they threw a bottle of water to him, they'd step a little bit closer. Well, at the last thing in the video, they actually threw at him a little bottle of Coke, like a little 20-ounce bottle of Coke. One of the police officers had actually chugged a Coke in front of him. Apparently, he liked that. He said, I want one of those. And they threw him a Coke, and this lady officer had thrown the Coke at his feet. He kind of stepped out from the store with his hostage in hand, reached over and kind of kicked the Coke bottle towards himself with his foot. And as he looked down, the lady hostage negotiator did this. The perp was toast. The perp was toast. He was out cold. He was dead. She shot him how many times was that, Maestro? 5 or 6 times? I mean, and that's why it was labeled Awesome Asian Hostage Negotiator, because that lady did what needed to be done to take that out. This is Robbie Romeiser, and it is Career Callings. Thanks for coming back and joining us today. It is our purpose at Career Callings to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has created you to do. Feel free to join us today via phone, text, or email. If you want to call or text, the number is 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649. And my email address is robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Why in the world was I searching YouTube for hostage negotiator videos when I'm talking about a career radio show? Well, there's a reason why I did that. The reason I was doing that is because when you're in a job interview, it really does become a negotiation, especially if you're deep into the process of discussion and you and your hiring manager are realizing that this could very well be a good fit. And if it could very well be a good fit, then you need to figure out what the win-win structure needs to be for that job negotiation to end, because that's the goal of any good negotiation, to have both parties win. So, yeah, since the job interview is a negotiation and it is a two-way street, doesn't it not follow that we as job seekers should find out how to negotiate properly when we're in that position? I mean, the hiring manager has been trained on how to do that. They know how to negotiate what they're supposed to be negotiating for the employer they work for, and we should train ourselves the same way. So, and I thought to myself, okay, who better to learn from than a hostage negotiator in terms of negotiation? Those people are dealing with life and death situations each and every day when they deal with these kind of crazies like on that video. So that's why I was searching for those kind of videos. So as we get ready to get into that, what I want to share with you as far as the let me just say, this is the as you go through the process of interviewing with someone and negotiating your position, there are some things you want to look for, some questions you want to ask to make sure that you don't end up in the wrong place. Because if you don't ask the right questions and know where you're coming from in your negotiations, you might end up working with a guy that kind of works like this.
I think it's important for employees to realize that there is a genuine social distance between executives and themselves, okay? And there are a lot of executives who want to be, you know, quote-unquote, men of the people, and they want to relate to their employees, which is, I mean, it's just so foolish. It's hard to imagine that they've been so deluded. But one of the things I like to do is reassert that difference. And so when I interact with employees, I have a couple little routines that I do that are intended to demonstrate to them that I'm visually cleansing myself of contact with them. So, for example, I like to keep a little bottle of hand sanitizer in my pocket. And after I shake the hand of an employee, if they're talking to me about, you know, their job, I will take out the hand sanitizer and I'll wash my hand.
Oh, hi, Dr. Kristen. How are you doing?
Mark, how are you?
Mike.
Oh,
I'm doing good.
Good. Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say congratulations on the success of the book. We've been sending out a lot of them.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
I'm sure that review in the Financial Times helped. That was pretty
nice. That was great.
Inevitably, they will recognize that I am sanitizing myself from contact with them, and you can see that as they're talking, they begin to process the fact that there is a certain vileness to contact with them. And that can be very disconfirming. Of course, you know, other people, they simply just wipe their hands on their clothing or, I mean, I know one person who wears latex gloves when he interacts with his employees, but I think that's extreme.
Yeah, well, you must have a lot of books to ship out, and so I'm going to let you get right back at it. And so thanks a lot, Mark.
Quite frankly, that is...
Mike.
I mean, that's somewhat offensive. I mean, do you see
that? Well, to
that?
Who?
Well, to me, personally, just in trying to imagine this dynamic, do you really see them as carrying infectious diseases?
Well, I think that a biologist would say that we are all carrying some sort of infectious disease. I don't know that realistically that... I don't know if they're carrying more than normal, but I would suspect they are. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, throw caution to the wind. What I would say, however, the more important thing is not protecting myself from disease, is simply reasserting the social distance between employees and executives. And this is really a very effective means of doing that. Now, I could do something like say, you know, I think you're beneath me, but I just think that's low class.
Yeah, if you don't know how to negotiate your position, you might just end up working for a guy like that. So let's see if we can give you the tools and the tricks and tips to properly negotiate your position when you're in that job interview. And so what I found when I was surfing the web on this topic and trying to learn a little bit about what hostage negotiators know about negotiation, I ran across an article from a guy named Frederick Lansley, and he was quite often quoted through the research that I compiled when I was researching for this topic. And back in the early 1970s, he had been a graduate, had gone to graduate school, then went to work for the FBI for quite a long time, and was a hostage negotiator at different times during his career there. And he had also worked as a salesperson in an early part of his life, and he became aware after having both been in sales and also been in hostage negotiating that basically negotiation works the same, or at least has a lot of similar components in both realms. And I would argue that it also has the tips and tricks he gave, most of them anyway, have the same kind of application when it comes to job negotiations. So what I want to do is share a few of his tips. I won't share all of them. Time will not allow us to do that. But as always, I will post a link to this article on the careercallings.net/radio page. That's careercallings.net/radio, where you can find links to this article, other articles that I'll be referring to today, and of course, a free podcast of today's show. And Mr. Disconfirmation himself, you can get a link to that video that had that little parody there. All right, the first thing that Mr. Lansley mentioned here in his article that I have before me is this. You need to understand what a negotiation situation is and is not. In other words, when you're in a job interview, it may become painfully obvious to you or to the interviewer early on that this is not going to be a good fit. So if it's not going to be a good fit, if you don't have what it takes to be there, or they don't have what it takes to be a good employer in your mind, then you need to understand pretty early on that's not a negotiation situation. And then you probably need to find a way to gracefully exit from that as quickly as you can. But if you get past the first few minutes and notice that there is some rapport being built between you and your hiring manager there, then you're heading into a negotiation situation, and you need to prepare for that and be ready to ask the right questions when you get there. Now, before we get into some questions that you could ask, let's talk about mindset first. What Lance Lee says in his article here about negotiation is that it really, the best thing you can do to prepare yourself for a good negotiation and to position yourself well as a good negotiator is to realize that the negotiation is not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about both of you. And it's about your needs and the company's needs. And this is really the mindset of the great negotiators. They know that in order to get concessions from the other person on the other side of the table, you first got to build trust. You got to have a level of trust between you and them, because it's only through trust building that you can bring down the barriers that we all have when we get into a negotiation. I mean, I've been in real estate for years, and teach real estate as well as doing career callings, and you know, I've been in tons of negotiations and realize, when you first get into there, whether you're negotiating for a new listing or negotiating a contract for sale, there's a lot of barriers up. People don't trust each other. And it takes some time to bring those barriers down. But once you do, negotiation becomes a whole lot easier to go through. Until you bring down those barriers that you have there through some trust building, really, if you try to negotiate while those barriers are still up, then people will perceive that you're trying to manipulate them. And when people understand and feel like they're being manipulated, you're not going to get very far. So you got to build trust. And that's one of the foundational attitudes of life that God himself articulated. Didn't he say, love thy neighbor as thyself in Matthew 22:39? Absolutely. And in Philippians 2:3, Paul says, esteem others better than yourself. So if you take that into negotiation, even negotiation when it comes to your job, you'll be better served. We'll pick up from there when we get back from the break and talk a little bit more about how hostage negotiators can help you find the job you want.
Handle on the law.
Yeah, I got pops selling American flags on the corner, and I've got a mandatory appearance.
What is it, the Iraqi war veterans, or what?
It's an animal rescue.
Oh, animal rescue. If I'm on the board, I mean, who's going to nail you for helping service people versus some stupid chihuahua that has a broken leg? Yep, you have no case.
Handle on the Law, Sunday evenings at 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Michael is an adoptee himself. Gina was a birth mother at age 20. Together, the Smiths have adopted children. And through all of these experiences, they are uniquely qualified to share the love of Christ with all parties involved in the adoption process through Hope Embraced Adoption Agency. Hopebound Ministries has partnered with the Smiths to make adoption services available to families who otherwise would not be able to afford adoption services. To donate to or to apply for financial help regarding the Smiths' adoption services, please visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break. Robbie Romeiser with you. Career Callings, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, robbie@careercallings.net. Right before the break, we were talking about hostage negotiation and some tips and tricks on negotiation from Mr. Lansley, a former FBI hostage negotiator. And the next thing he recommended in any negotiation process, and of course we're applying his tips and tricks to job interview negotiations, the next thing he mentioned is this: you want to be careful about sending mixed messages. For you as the person being interviewed, this means you need to know what you want to say, why you want to say it, and make your body language match up with your words. Now, what I mean by that is this: before you go into a job interview, you need to know what your potential employer's needs are. You need to do your research. You need to understand their pain. I mean, they're obviously trying to remove some pain by hiring someone for the position you've applied for. That person is expected to remove that pain. So you need to understand what that pain is, then know your value and your ability in being able to remove that pain for them. If you haven't done that research and you try to make things up as you go along, you're going to send some mixed messages about your ability to solve their problems. So you need to understand what it is they need to have done and be confident and understand exactly how you can help them fix that issue. If you don't think you can fix that issue, don't interview for the position, because it'll become painfully obvious very quickly that you're just trying to chase a paycheck and not there to try to solve their problems. So be careful about that. Demonstrations is the next thing that Mr. Lansley talked about. His point in this is, if you're in a hostage negotiation, you don't want to say one thing and do another. If you're telling the perp that everything's going to be fine, and then all the guys with M16s are getting their guns loaded, the actions are speaking louder than words. And so we want to be able to demonstrate to our potential employers in the job negotiation process that we indeed not only say we can solve their problem, we need to prove to them how we do that. Now, the way you do that is to put together a small inventory of what many people like to call, and I do as well, called star stories. Experiences from your past is what I'm getting at. Experiences from your past that show how you solved problems similar to the problems that your potential employer is trying to solve. And those star stories can come from previous workplaces, which would be the most ideal. Could come from you serving in various nonprofit groups, church, maybe even something you resolved at home would not be inappropriate if it was similar to the type of issue that you would be expected to resolve on the job. So be able to demonstrate that you can bring value to the group there. Make everything simple. As Lansley quotes Albert Einstein once saying, make everything as simple as possible, but not simpler. And the same thing should be true in the job negotiation process. Starting with your resume, you don't have to have a 10-page long resume. Most hiring managers won't even look at it if it's that long. You need to keep it simple, a good one-pager to start out with just to catch their attention. And then when you get in front of that hiring manager and actually have a conversation, you want your focus to be, I understand your pain, and this is how I can fix it. I understand your pain, and this is how I can fix it. Try to keep tied to that central theme. Next, as I said earlier, we are seeking a win-win solution in job negotiations. And although we do need to keep the other party's interest in mind, that does not mean we need to ignore ours. We have a right to ask questions of the employer, including questions about salary, so that we can determine whether or not the job is a good fit for us. And they might want us, but we might not want them, and we won't know that until we ask some good questions. So what I want to do now is for a few minutes talk about some various questions that we can ask folks while we're sitting at the table there. And here's a list of 10 interview questions at Forbes printed some time ago on their website, Forbes.com. Again, I'll have a link to this at careercallings.net/radio so that you can take a look at it. It was written by a guy named Joe Knopp, and he talks about having a bank of 3 to 5 questions that you can ask, and for the purpose, really, of two things. Number one, so that you can decide if you want to be there. Number two, if you ask intelligent questions, it's going to make you more valuable in the eyes of the hiring manager, because they understand that you have an understanding of what the needs are if you're asking the right questions. So to kind of give you some examples, this is a list of 10 questions he's come up with. He's suggesting you take 3 to 5 with you into the interview and ask whichever ones are most appropriate for that interview process. Number one, what skills and experiences would make an ideal candidate? This is a great open-ended question that will have the interviewer put his or her cards on the table and state exactly what the employer is looking for. And if the interviewer mentions something that you haven't covered yet, now is your chance to pounce and show them how you can do that. Number two, what is the single largest problem facing your staff, and would I be in a position to solve you to help you solve this problem? This not only shows that you're immediately thinking about how you can help them, it also encourages the interviewer to envision you working at the position. Number three, what have you enjoyed most about working here? This question allows the interviewer to connect with you on a more personal level and also gives you some insight on what might be some red flags for you if they say something that doesn't sound all too appealing. Number four, what constitutes success at this position and this firm or nonprofit? This shows your interest in being successful there, and the answer will show you both how to get ahead and whether it's a good fit for you. Do you have any hesitations about my qualifications? Now, this is a gutsy question, and it also shows that you're confident in your skills and abilities, and it gets, or at least tries to get, the hiring manager to be honest with you. And that will help you give you an opportunity to overcome an objection or two if there are still some there. Number six, do you offer continuing education and professional training? It's a great positioning question, showing that you're interested in expanding your knowledge and ultimately growing with the employer, which will be appealing to them. Number seven, can you tell me about the team I'll be working with? Notice how the question is phrased. It assumes that you will get the job. This question also tells you about the people you will interact with on a daily basis, so listen to the answer closely. Number eight, what can you tell me about your new products or plans for growth? This question should be customized for your particular needs. Do your homework at the employer site ahead of time. Number nine, who previously held this position? It's a very straightforward question. It will tell you whether that person was promoted or fired, or if he or she quit or retired. That, in turn, will provide you with a clue as to whether you might want to be there or not. Then number 10, what is the next step in the process? This is the essential last question, and the one that you should definitely ask. It shows that you're interested in moving along in the process and invites the interviewer to tell you how many people are in the running for the position. So that's a great list of 10 questions there that Forbes recommends that you ask in the interview process. Now, what I want to do here is talk about a question that we didn't have in that list of 10 questions. It's the question about salary. At some point during the conversation, the hiring manager is going to ask you what your salary needs are. And so there are really opposing views to this question, or how you should answer this question. So to kind of introduce this little face-off here between a couple of different authors on the subject, let's just enjoy a little bit of this theme song here. When you're going to have a face-off, you got to have Rocky music. It's not any fun unless you got Rocky there. So let's look at a couple of different folks real quick. about how they would suggest you answer the question, what are your salary requirements? And this first article is from Time.com, written by Penelope Tronk, co-founder of a company called Quistic, which offers online courses to help people manage their careers. Now, she's got several different things in this article, and we'll not cover them all, but basically all of her answers to that question, what are your salary requirements, basically boils down to this. You're not going to tell them. And she says, here's a couple of examples here. Let's say an interviewer asks you, what salary range are you looking for? Your answer, she suggests, should be, let's talk about the job requirements and expectations first, so I can get a sense of what you need. That's a soft answer to a soft way to ask the question. Now, next question she suggests here that you might hear from a hiring manager, what did you make at your last job? And her answer is, this position is not exactly the same as my last job, so let's discuss what my responsibilities would be here and then determine a fair salary for this job. Number three, what are you expecting to make in terms of salary? Her prospective answer here, I'm interested in finding a job that is a good fit for me. I'm sure whatever salary you're paying is consistent with the rest of the market. In other words, she's saying, act like you respect yourself and you think the company can respect you too. Then how about this question? Why don't you want to give your salary requirements? You might be evading this question so much that the interviewer asks you that. And her suggested answer is, I think you have a good idea of what this position is worth to your company, and that's important information for me to know. So that's Penelope Tronk. She's being a little bit on the evasive side. I can't say that that's necessarily a bad thing. But let's look at what other person we have here. Let's look at round two. And yeah, round two here, and this one is going to be from Liz Ryan, often contributor to Forbes.com as well. She's a career consultant, and she takes on the same thing, the salary question. How do you deal with it? And very interesting perspective she has here. She says in her article, a lot of people tell you, kind of like Penelope Tronk did, not to name a number. When asked the question, what's your salary requirements? And then this is Liz's response. Are you kidding me? If you don't name a salary number, you're going to get an offer, and it's going to be a lowball offer. And that is so true. I mean, I can tell you, I can tell you a lot of times with real estate negotiations, if you got a seller who says, you make the first offer. Well, the first offer from the buyer is always going to be an insultingly lowball offer because they wouldn't tell us where they wanted to be. That's, you need to do that. So this is what Liz says to do. Basically, tell them, hey, look, I'd like $55,000. I'd like $65,000. I've done my research, and I think what this position is worth. I think this is what the position is worth. And, of course, you want that to be in line with what they're advertising. And if they're not advertising, do your research to find out what kind of price range, salary range that should be in. If you're asked, what did you get paid at your last job? The response would be, my last job doesn't matter. I'm focused on this job, and I think this is what I can bring to the table, and this is what kind of what worth it is here. So I think I'm worth that, and you might want to say a little bit more diplomatically than that, but you get the point. All right. Well, that's wraps up our show today for Career Callings. If you'd like to get a copy of this podcast, go to careercallings.net/radio and feel free to get it. You have a great day. God bless you.